I'm Deirdre Kennedy with podtech.net. We're speaking today to Scott Kimball, manager with Bearing Point. Hi, Scott. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Deirdre. Nice to be here.
Well, today we are talking about storage virtualization. First of all, can you explain at a high level what virtual storage means?
Sure. Virtual storage is a technology that's used to help companies administer storage, as well as servers and networks and the like. In order to reduce the administration burden caused by the increase in scale and complexity of IT infrastructures, it basically frees up IT resources from their physical connections and makes them available to users or applications as logical resources. A good analogy would be your home, you have electricity coming into your home and you're being charged by the amper. So, you know, when you're using electricity in your home, you're really not concerned about how that electricity was generated, how it got there, or anything to the like. So it could be nuclear, it could be hydroelectric, it could be anything like that. And for the most part, all you're really looking at is using the electricity as it comes in. And that's the same type of thing as storage virtualization. You know, at the end of the day, you know, all you're really looking to be able to do is have your applications access their storage units and be able to do the jobs that they were meant to do and not really have to be too concerned about, you know, where the storage is kept or whether it's being backed up or any of those types of things that are associated with those types of storage needs. Another thing that I'd like to mention with this is that the availability of logical units, you know, here's some different functions, if you will, from storage virtualization that includes the availability of the logical volumes to separate it from each, you know, physical constraints such as their hard disks themselves. The ability to group the resources in a multi-vendor type environment and to reallocate them independently of the block sizes or physical location. And then automating that storage optimization based on policy, automated storage management, and the like.
Well, if I were a chief technical officer, why should my business consider storage virtualization? Can you talk about some of the immediate benefits a company may be able to take advantage of?
Sure. You know, some of the immediate benefits of storage virtualization that companies are looking for, and again, most CTOs and chief technology officers are looking for ways to cut costs and to increase competition and to do those types of things, you know, but not, you know, basically sell the keys to the farm and basically lose their competitive edge. So given that, some of the following benefits are optimizing the utilization of the existing storage assets and enabling more controlled growth in the deployment of new disk capacity. So historically, companies overprescribe and underutilize the storage capacity because of the administrative costs associated with changing storage configurations. Improving the utilization through storage virtualization allows IT managers to non-disruptively modify, add capacity, thereby minimizing the need to overprescribe. In other words, you know, for example, a good example of this is that typically when application developers are looking to build out a new application, they typically come in and they say, "I need, you know, a terabyte of storage." You know, and at that time, you know, they're saying that basically because when they look at what they're trying to do, they're looking over a long period of time. They're saying, you know, sometime in the future, 5 years down the road, I'm going to need a terabyte of storage. But at that specific time, you know, they maybe only need maybe a few hundred gigs. But the problem is that with the way storage is built today without virtualization, you really don't have that option. You have to give them all what they want because growing it is very difficult and time-consuming and potentially damaging to the information. So that's one of the pieces that's an immediate benefit. Another one is enabling greater application availability and improving performance. Again, when you're using virtual storage, again, the storage itself is you know, obviously virtual, so it's not physically connected to the application itself, you know, so that it can be moved. So, for example, if I want to do some maintenance or I want to do something like that to the application, I can physically, you know, virtually move the storage that's supporting that to a different type of storage or move it to someplace else and then maintain the particular piece of storage that I'm working on without any interruption to the application itself. And of course, then the third major immediate benefit is the reduction in current and future costs of managing the expanded storage capacity. So even with the improvement in utilization and the rapid growth of data-intensive applications such as digital images, email archiving, that kind of thing, you know, there's also going to be, you know, the people side of it, you know, the actual, you know, storage administrators and how well they can manage these things. And virtual storage, you know, provides the storage administrators with a lot more flexibility, and they can do a lot more with less, and it makes their jobs much, much easier and much more efficient.
Well, those sound like some great short-term benefits. What about long-term benefits with switching over to this kind of storage?
Well, again, you know, that's another great question, and that you know that is one of the biggest things that CTOs are looking for. Not only do they want the immediate stuff, but, you know, how is that going to help me, you know, 3, 4, 5 years from now? And some of those types of things, you know, the cross-system heterogeneous data replication, migration, and protection is one of those types of things that's really going to be a benefit. And when I talk about heterogeneous, I'm talking about, many big companies have lots of different types of disk frames. They can have an EMC, they can have network appliance, they can have Hitachi, you know, all of these different types of frames. And over the years, you know, they've been building up their storage arrays. And at some point in time, they're going to need to be able to have all of those types of disk systems start to talk to each other and be able to work together. And we're really, without virtualization, it's really difficult to get that benefit. So at some point in time, the long-term benefit is that they're going to start to be able to utilize their different types of systems much more effectively. Another thing that's going to be nice in the long run is common set of provisioning, management, and replication practices. You know, lowering your total cost of ownership for storage assets by reducing the number of tools and the people that are needed to manage those things is also a huge type of potential long-term benefit. And then the last thing is the transparent policy-based migration of data between different types of storage. Again, I'm kind of going back to the heterogeneous type thing, but that's an important point of this, in that you're going to be able to, you know, work with those different types of storage frames and allowing them the proper placement, data based on the value of the content, time over time, the information-based lifecycle thing. So you're going to have different types of storage that are going to be, you know, maybe less valued, you know, later on in their life. And you want to be able to utilize your virtualized storage to be able to take advantage of the lower cost of some of the different types of disks.
Well, you touched upon the idea of cutting down the number of people that need to work to access these systems. We had an earlier podcast, actually, with Laurent Mandorla and Nicholas Boknin, and they talked about the mindset that's involved also in getting different departments to understand and work smoothly with this kind of switch, you know, to be able to change the idea that one division has access to this amount of storage and another division has supervision over that amount of storage. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. That's a really great question, in that, you know, one of the biggest challenges to virtualized storage is that most companies these days have been very siloed in the approach to the way they buy and the way they acquire storage. So it, to that point, you know, I'll use banking as a good point of that, is that you may have your commercial banking group that's gone out and bought quite a bit of storage. You've got your retail bank side that's maybe bought some storage too, and then you got your home loans, right? And so what's happened here is that, those particular companies may or may not have got the best price for the storage that they have, but typically those vendors, those different groups, are typically only getting anywhere from 20 to 30% utilization from their storage frames. So, you know, really, really poor, you know, utilization. And so what ends up happening here is that when you move to a virtualized environment like we're talking about here, the biggest challenge really isn't the vendors or how I'm going to do it or what kind of technology that I'm going to do. The biggest challenge is in the political arena, as far as, hey, I'm going to now absorb all of the storage that you bought, and I'm going to put it underneath my storage group, and I'm going to create a service based on this. And what that's going to mean is that I'm going to provide you any amount of storage you require, you know, on demand, but I'm not going to give it to you based on, you know, your particular frame. I'm going to give it based on the requirements that you tell me that you need. You know, do you need SRDF? Do you need replication? Do you need off-site virtual storage? Do you need virtual tape? Whatever those levels are and what kind of service levels you have are going to change. And where that tends to really stress a lot of organizations is that, you know, you're sitting here, I've gone out and I've paid all this money for this storage and it's mine. And changing that mindset to say, no, it's actually not yours, it's the company's, and we're going to then, you know, put that together is an important piece. And I think that so far companies that have been able to overcome that mindset and actually move to a more standardized storage offering have really reaped the rewards from that.
It's always good to include the human emotional factor in the workplace too.
It is.
Well, let's say I have many different types of storage vendors. Which storage virtualization solution will be best for my company? How do I know that?
Well, actually, that's another really interesting question in that what Bearing Point has done in the past when we've gone into these types of situations and we've taken a look around, you know, what we've tended to do is offer up a couple of different options. And one option is we go out and we find a virtual storage vendor that we think is heterogeneous to some degree, and it can accommodate all the different types of storage frames, and then try to migrate to that. But the challenge with that, again, is specific to the previous question you just asked, when that, you know, how do you pick which one you want to do, and how do you pick which one's the best? So what we tend to like to do is most storage companies have virtualization capabilities for their particular storage frame. So, you know, I'm going to pick EMC as an example here. So EMC, you know, they're one of the most prevalent storage vendors in the market, and of course they have their own Invista product that's the virtualization piece that they use. And of course, you know, you get into a company that maybe has Network Appliance, and Network Appliance also has, you know, particular software and virtualization components for their stuff. So a lot of times what we like to do after we do the assessment for them is pretty much go with just pick the vendor, pick their solution, and target it just at their particular storage frame to start off with. So if for an example, you know, we're going to pick EMC storage software and virtualization products for the EMC frames, and we're going to pick the Network Appliance applications and virtualization products for the Network Appliance piece. And where that the advantage of that is that, A, number one, the vendors are going to be very excited to kind of get their products in front of you and get these put in place. But then that also gives a company the opportunity to take a look at how the management consoles work, you know, how the virtualization pieces work. You know, a lot of times different companies have, you know, different types of organizations, storage organizations, and you may have people that are more familiar with different types of storage than others. And so ultimately what will happen is that at some point in the future, you are going to combine them into one type of system, but it's best when you first start off and you're just starting off in the storage virtualization space to really let the vendors that work with their products the best, you know, take a look at how they do and see which types of features you like and which ones work best for your company, and then move from there.
Well, one of the things that was brought up in the previous podcast we did with Bearing Point about storage virtualization was people keeping storage under their desks and the storage being just distributed all across the system. What can you give me an example of what a virtualized environment would look like?
Well, in that case, you know, the storage that is referring to is direct attached storage. So you have, you know, a lot of little hard drives running around there, and believe me, companies have a huge number of these. And from a storage virtualization aspect, those really, you don't really want to be using those too much. And so where a lot of storage virtualization comes into this is that it can be used to manage the desktops and be able to keep images of the desktops in a virtual environment and then basically push them out to the different desktops as they need it. And so really you're only using the local desktops just to basically hold the image, you know, temporarily while you're working on it, and that the rest of the storage that the user is actually accessing and using is actually in a storage frame someplace on the back end. And why that's important in this time of compliance and governance and all these other things that are going on, companies really need to make sure that they have good controls over their information and where it lives and who has it and who has access to it. And then also to, in the event of any kind of challenge to you know, like a litigation challenge or potentially an SEC investigation, you know, a one-stop shop to where they can go look and investigate and do e-discovery in a very, very quick manner. I mean, imagine you know, what's going to be simpler, being able to go and do e-discovery against a sand virtual SAN in basically one place and going and looking at all the information, or trying to go out and look at, you know, 5,700 desktops all over the enterprise and trying to figure out where the information is. So that you can kind of get an idea that, you know, as companies mature and as they adopt these virtualization practices, you know, you're going to see as they get more and more advantages as far as the storage goes, they're going to start migrating the desktops to the point where they're more centrally located than distributed.
Well, the last question, I guess, then is really how soon should companies start considering virtualization in their process, and what is the best way to get started?
Well, the best way to get started is obviously to call Bearing Point and have us come out and help you. But actually, beyond that, one of the things that companies should really look at, especially, you know, in companies, large companies, is that, you know, when they're getting ready to do some refreshes to their storage units. You know, so for example, you know, their storage is now depreciated and they're getting ready to maybe buy some new frames and move on to some different systems and stuff like that. That's the point where they really need to really assess, you know, whether virtual storage is right for them and whether they should do it, because the best time to move to virtual storage is when you're moving to new frames. And the reason that is that because a lot of the technology used in migrating information from old frames to new frames is very similar and oftentimes the same as the virtual storage solution. So, you know, where that can be a huge advantage is that at some point, if you implement the virtual storage environments when you're moving to new frames, you can actually implement it, you know, before you actually do the move. And most companies, most vendors are going to be very going to work with you a lot more and potentially give you additional benefits, because they really, you know, if by you doing this is going to make their job that much easier. And then by doing that, they're going to be able to provide much better service, and of course, everybody wins at the end, because your utilization rates are going to go from, you know, somewhere in the maybe the mid 20s to 30% to, you know, well over 50% or even higher. You know, some companies that we've worked with recently, you know, are targeting it in the upper 80% utilization ranges. So being able to use twice the amount of storage by going to virtual storage is going to make your costs go way down, and then your storage organizations are going to be much, much happier and much more efficient.
Well, that's what we like to hear, a win-win situation for everyone.
Exactly.
Well, Scott Kimball, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you very much, and I enjoyed the conversation.
We've been talking to Scott Kimball, a manager with Bearing Point. I'm Deirdre Kennedy with podtech.net.